What are we discussing on today's podcast, you ask? Well, we got to discuss the Dominic Fletcher news. We're at the 50-game mark of the season, so why not hand out a Diamondbacks report card? And if we have enough time, we'll preview the upcoming series against the Boston Red Sox, all on today's off day, all on today's Locked On Diamondbacks podcast.
You are Locked On Diamondbacks, your daily Arizona Diamondbacks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into the Locked On Diamondbacks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Today's episode is brought to you by Rocket Money. Stop throwing your money away, cancel unwanted subscriptions, and manage your expenses the easy way by going to rocketmoney.com/lockedonMLB. I'm your host, Miller Thomas. I'm a multimedia journalist and I'm a graphic designer, so please go check out my website, millerthomas24.myportfolio.com. I'm there you can see all my latest work, from my packages to my articles to my photos and my graphic design. If you want to see more content by me, just follow me on Twitter, at CreatorThomas24 for my personal account, or just look up Locked On Diamondbacks on Twitter, Instagram for the podcast handle. And of course, thank you for making Locked On Diamondbacks your first listen every day. I would not be able to do this podcast without you, my loyal listeners, sharing, subscribing, reviewing, doing all that so I could do this podcast for you. Thank you. It's free and available on all platforms, so please continue to tell your friends. One of those platforms is YouTube, so please hit subscribe on the Locked On Diamondbacks YouTube channel. Now, I want to start off this podcast with a little Diamondbacks news, because our great rookie Dominic Fletcher, who is, I haven't checked the FanDuel odds, but the last time I did check, he was fourth among NL rookies in odds at the time I checked, which is kind of crazy. And Dominic Fletcher is no longer going to be on the team, at least for the short term, because he's being sent down to AAA, while Jake McCarthy, who was struggling to start the season, is getting the call back up to the major leagues. And it was a very nice run for Dominic Fletcher. He's been in a slump recently that maybe we haven't highlighted enough on this Diamondbacks podcast, but Dominic Fletcher broke into the big leagues. Those first 12 games he played on major league level, 462 average, a 1231 OPS, and 43 plate appearances. He was really carrying the offense for those first couple weeks he was on the big league level. But since that stretch, he's really started to come down a lot, and he's only 6 for his last 39 with 11 strikeouts. And one of his biggest issues is he hits the ball on the ground a lot. I mean, 51% of the time he hits the ball on the ground. That's way above league average, and he struggles big time against lefties as well, going 4 for his last 24 against them. But even with all that being said, Dominic Fletcher still has a pretty good slash line. Like, even if he doesn't get called back up to the majors this season, he can at least go into the offseason and be like, look at what I did on major league level. I was an all-star superstar player, and they should have kept me on there, and I should have had way more at-bats than I did, because Dominic Fletcher is getting sent back down to AAA with a 308 average, 349 OBP, and a 474 slugging. So he still has a very good slash line overall, but with how he's played offensively, it's not too much of a surprise to see him being sent down to the minors. I think it's a surprise that a guy like Pevin Smith keeps getting run, keeps getting opportunity, with his offense being pretty solid but not great, and his defense being like, it's hard to play him out there in the outfield defensively, because a guy like Dominic Fletcher, the numbers suggest he's been really good defensively for the D-backs this year, both in left field and center field. I think he's been one of the better defensive outfielders in the entire National League when I was looking at the fan graphs earlier today, actually. So Dominic Fletcher is going to be sad to see him go, but this is, we talk about a sense of urgency and not being complacent. Like, this is it. Jake McCarthy struggles to start the season. After 3 weeks of a leash, he gets sent down. Dominic Fletcher gets called up. Dominic Fletcher's hot. He takes Alec Thomas's job. Thomas gets sent down. Now Dominic Fletcher's struggling. So what happens? He gets sent down for Jake McCarthy, and it's basically a revolving door of outfielders. Go get hot in AAA, get sent up to major leagues, and then when you get into a little cold slump on the major league level, then we'll just send you back down to AAA. And it's just a carousel right now. Of course, Corbin Carroll's not going anywhere. His numbers is nasty. Lourdes Gurriel is on one of the biggest heaters of his career. So you're going to have two locked in outfielders, and then that third outfielder just going to be a carousel of youngsters. A very fun time for the Arizona Diamondbacks. But let's actually hand out a report card now for the D-backs through the first 50 games of the season. How are the D-backs performing? I think I accidentally closed my notes app that I had on my computer, but thankfully the Mac has a quick history tool. So we're going to break it down into multiple categories. The offense is going to get a grade, the rotation, the bullpen, the defense, the manager, and then I'll give out an overall grade. After giving out individual grades for each category, I'll give out an overall grade for how I think the season has gone. That will be, you know, a composite of all those categories. So the first category that we're going to start with is the offense for the D-backs this season. And the offense has been the strongest point of the D-backs this season. It's been their strength. The D-backs have the second most runs in the National League to the Dodgers. If you could believe that, the D-backs are averaging over five runs a game, 5.14. And they also, it's not a surprise that they have the second most runs a game in the National League. All these stats are just for the National League, might I add you. It's not a surprise that they have the second most runs in the National League because they have the most at-bats or runners in scoring position. The D-backs have got so many dudes with runners in scoring position this year. They've been, and it's possible to get so many runners in scoring position when you lead the National League in average. That's another thing this D-backs offense is doing a great job of. They get so many opportunities with runners in scoring position because they get a whole lot of hits. And when you just go up and down this D-backs lineup right now, like, it's not a surprise to see why they lead the league in average. And leading the league in average is still only like a 264 average or something like that. But Moreno's batting 304, Marte's at 279, Perdomo's at 315, Gurriel 317, Corbin Carroll 286, like Dominic Fletcher before he got sent down 308, Emmanuel Rivera is at 323. Like, the D-backs have had a bunch of players. Maybe some of them have small sample sizes, but in those small sample sizes, they're doing really good at the plate. So not surprised to see that they lead in average. And we know the D-backs team is fast. We know that's been one of the selling points of this team entering the season. Currently third in steals. I think my preseason prediction was them leading the league in steals. We're going to need to make up some ground to do that. But Corbin Carroll already has 14. Perdomo and Josh Rojas each have 5. We're going to need Rojas to pick it up because he's been in a prolonged slump recently. D-backs, they don't hit a ton of home runs. That's one of their downsides of this offense, like outside of a Christian Walker. I mean, Corbin Carroll has 7 home runs. Lourdes Gurriel has 8. Evan Longoria has 6. But in the entire National League, this is like a middle of the pack team when it comes to home runs. But they do still hit a lot of extra base hits, second in both doubles and triples. So even if they don't hit a lot of home runs, they still have a whole ton of gap power. And with the speed that they have, that's why they're second in triples, because the guys like Corbin Carroll, I mean, we saw recently, he can easily turn a double down the line into a triple. And I think we'll see an inside the park home run at some point this year. The D-backs also don't strike out a lot. Third lowest strikeout percentage. Now, they're also not the best team when it comes to walk percentage. The D-backs just love to put the ball in play, and you're not going to be mad at all with that scenario. So D-backs don't strike out a lot. They don't walk a lot. They put the ball in play. That's why they lead in average, because that's the kind of game that they want to play. Second best offensive war among all their positions when you add it up. And their two best positions when it comes to offensive war is second base, and it's their pinch hitter. And when you look at second base, it's going to be Ketel Marte, who's still one of the better second basemen in all of baseball. And then Perdomo plays a ton of second base as well. So the combination of those two guys have led to the best offensive war at that position in the National League. And their pinch hitting clutch this year, D-backs have one of the better pinch hitting situation statistics. We can go look at it on Baseball Reference. So they've been super clutch in that area as well. So when you just look at this D-backs offense, they've done a ton for this team this year. We're going to talk about the pitching in a little bit, but the Moreno trade has worked out because Moreno has been a great offensive player. Maybe not a superstar, but a high average guy, high contact guy, plus what he does defensively. And Lourdes Gurriel has been a monster. Christian Walker, he's been solid this year, still a ton of power. Probably not as good as he was in the second half last year, but he's been better this first half than he was in the first half last year. And he did heat up around this time last year. So maybe we'll see a Christian Walker power surge coming. Ketel Marte is definitely having a better first half right now than he had last season. Perdomo's been a beast. Rojas started the season hot, but he's really cooled off. Then Corbin Carroll, he's lived up to being a rookie of the year. Pavin Smith has had his moments this year. Dominic Fletcher has had his moments. Evan Longoria can still get a pinch hit home run. Nick Ahmed, he does Nick Ahmed things from time to time. But overall, this lineup has been impressive. They've been able to string together run scoring opportunities and capitalize on those run scoring opportunities. They take the extra base. They are one of the top run scoring teams in Major League Baseball. And so when you think about all those components, I have to give this D-backs offense an A- through the first 50 games of the season. Now, I want to talk to you guys about this really, really comfortable pair of shorts I'm wearing right now, because I'm talking about Bird Dogs, because Bird Dogs sent a pair of shorts to all Locked On hosts. And I got to tell y'all, I don't know if I've ever tried on a better pair of shorts, because these things, first of all, I'm a guy who cares about comfortability, number one overall, biggest trait I look for. And these things, man, I could wear these things for a week straight. If I was stranded on an island, I would want a pair of Bird Dogs, because these things are great for lounging around the house, walking, doing exercise. They're great for when I sweat. Yes, I've worn these things to the gym. They're the perfect length right above the knee. I don't think that there's any other pair of shorts I would want if I was stranded on an island. And the great thing about Bird Dogs right now, if you go to their website, birddogs.com, and use promo code LOCKEDONMLB, you can get a free Bird Dog Yeti Tumblr. Keeps your bevs cold, your soups hot. I use mine every day. If you look at the YouTube, my YouTube audience, my Bird Dog style tumbler is right here. I love it. I use it. Go put in promo code LOCKEDONMLB. Go get you a pair of shorts and go get you that tumbler. And don't forget, you could catch every D-backs hometown pitch on their hometown broadcast when you search up Diamondbacks on the SiriusXM app. Let's get back into the podcast. Let's do some more report card type stuff. And the next thing I want to discuss is the rotation, because the rotation for this D-backs team is very interesting and could kind of split the rotation in half, veterans versus youngsters, because the veterans in this rotation have been dominant this year, right? Zach Gallen and Merrill Kelly have been elite. Gallen has a 2.97 ERA. Merrill Kelly has a 2.98 ERA. Gallen leads the league in innings pitched with 66.2. He also leads in FIP 209, and he also leads in wins. He also has double-digit strikeouts per nine. He also leads in home runs per nine. Zach Gallen has only given up two home runs the entire season, and Merrill Kelly hasn't been far off. Like I said, literally, Gallen 2.97 ERA, Merrill Kelly 2.98. He's got 57 innings pitched himself. He's got 59 Ks. He's got 9.3 strikeouts per nine, where, let me look it up real quick. Is that a career high for Merrill Kelly? Yeah, Merrill Kelly, career high strikeouts per nine as it currently stands. Like, those two, I always say, arguably the best frontline rotation in the National League. There's other guys you could bring up and have a very sound argument for those other guys as well, but Gallen and Merrill Kelly is at least in the conversation for top five frontline duo. Like, they don't walk a ton of guys. I mean, Merrill Kelly's actually walked more people than he's probably should have compared to his career norms. But overall, they don't put a lot of guys on base. Like, even though Merrill Kelly might walk more people than Zach Gallen, he also gives up less hits than Zach Gallen. And they both strike out a ton of dudes. They both don't give up the home run. Merrill Kelly has only given up five home runs the entire season. So those two guys have been unlocked. But when you look at the rotation, below league average and quality start percentage, this D-backs rotation, because Gallen can give you quality starts, Merrill Kelly can give you quality starts, but the rest of the rotation, it's kind of a question mark, because Ryan Nelson, we know he's been better recently, but he still has a 5.02 ERA on the season. When you look at some of his other stats, his whip, 1.365, is kind of high. You look at Tommy Henry, 4.68, another guy who's been better recently, but he also has a 1.408 whip. You look at someone like Brandon Pfaadt, someone who's been better in his last couple of starts, he has a 1.55 whip. And so the rotation, it's hard to grade, because the front two guys have been so elite, so dominant for the D-backs this season and the last couple seasons. But the next three, you're just like, if one of those guys or two of those guys can just be good through a turn, then you feel good about that every turn through the rotation. Like, you know, like, you feel like you have a 90% chance of Gallen and Merrill Kelly potentially throwing a quality start. And then you're like, okay, if one or two of the next three guys after them can just give me five innings and three earned runs, like, I'll feel pretty good. Because like I said earlier, the D-backs have the second best offense in the National League. So if you could just get five innings, three earned runs, five Ks and two walks out of Ryan Nelson, Tom Henry, and Brandon Pfaadt every start, I think this D-backs team would sign up for that. So far through the first 50 games of the season, I think I'll give this D-backs rotation a B. And it's because the frontline guys are just so good. Gallen, Merrill, Kelly. I know Gallen hasn't exactly looked dominant in his last two starts. I think the bullpen kind of screwed him over with Kevin Ginkle giving up some of those runs that got credit to Zach Gallen, of course. But those two guys have been so good. And because the Henrys, the Ryan Nelsons, and the Brent Fats of the world have been better recently, a little recency bias, I think at first I want to put this as a B minus, but I'll keep it a B for now. And speaking of B, let's talk about the bullpen, because the bullpen has been the disgrace of this team the last couple of years. It's been the eyesore of this team, the black sheep of the Diamondbacks. The bullpen is the one part, the one phase of the game that you could have wished you could have erased that wasn't part of Major League Baseball. You wish you could have ended games after six innings because the D-backs bullpen has been so bad in the past. And this season, it hasn't been that bad, but still hasn't been that great. They still have a closing issue, second worst save percentage in the National League. Now, they are like top three. I think they have the second most holds or the third most holds in the National League, but they also have the fourth worst inherited runner score percentage. So when the bullpen comes in and there's runners on, they allow those runners to score the fourth most times. That's why when a guy like Zach Gallen's on the mound and he leaves a two on and Kevin Ginkle comes in, I'm like, I would have rather just kept Zach Gallen out there even with 100 pitches, because I just feel like those runners are going to get credit to Zach Gallen's ERA, and that's exactly what happened. And another reason why we need a good bullpen, not just because, you know, I've talked about how every great run by a playoff team has a very good, very strong bullpen. And for the D-backs this season, their bullpen has entered the lead more than any other team. When the D-backs reliever comes into the game, they're more likely than not to have the lead, more likely than any other team in National League. And that's why the D-backs need a bullpen they can trust, is because they're giving their bullpen an opportunity to just shut the door. Just do your job and the D-backs will get a victory. And the D-backs, I think, could have even more victories if their bullpen was better, because I'm giving the D-backs bullpen a C+, which is actually probably an improvement from the F that's gone the last couple of years. I think this D-backs bullpen still has room for improvement. Chafin, McGuff, Castro, Ginkle, Nelson, Mantiply. That's like six guys I just named. They all have sub-4 ERAs. You hope some other guys can hopefully join them and make this team better, like Adre Jameson. I think eventually he'll get called up from the minors and help out his bullpen. We might see one of these rotation guys go into the bullpen once Zach Davies comes back. So I think there's upside for this bullpen to get better and get more interesting. And I think Mike Hazen will also look to address some bullpen concerns at the deadline, because right now it's a C+. And with the amount of opportunities they've had this year with the lead, the most in the National League, they need to get better at closing games. They need to get better at not allowing inherited runners to score. And the D-backs can work on those areas and at least get to least league average in the National League with what the offense has already done this year. They're keeping pace with the Dodgers, only a game and a half back. The D-backs are going a real streak and a real search and maybe be able to sweep a team if they could get a very put-together bullpen by the end of the season. Now, I want to talk to you guys about a little something that I use to cancel my unwanted subscriptions. It's called Rocket Money, because Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps you lower your bills all in one place. Over 80% of people have subscriptions they forgot about, and chances are you're one of them, like that Starz app just to watch one show, or that free gaming trial you never actually used. Rocket Money will quickly and easily find your subscriptions for you. And for any you don't want to pay anymore, just hit cancel and Rocket Money will cancel it for you. It's that easy. Over 3 million people have used Rocket Money, saving the average person up to $720 a year. Stop throwing your money away. Cancel unwanted subscriptions and manage your expenses the easy way by going to rocketmoney.com/lockedonMLB. That's rocketmoney.com/lockedonMLB. rocketmoney.com/lockedonMLB. let's get back to the podcast. And I do want to say one more thing. Don't forget, you can catch every D-backs pitch on their hometown broadcast when you search up Diamondbacks on the SiriusXM app. Now, let's continue giving out our grades. And next, let's talk about the defense for the D-backs, because the defense has kind of been the calling card for the D-backs under the Torey Lovullo era. And I think the same can be said for this season, because the D-backs, when you look at those defensive stats on FanGraphs, they're basically top five in almost every defensive stat. And I'm not going to bore you too much, because defensive stats, I think, are pretty convoluted and they're pretty hard to understand. But some very fun ones that people have at least probably heard of, just from anywhere, that you probably heard of just from watching Major League Baseball and listening to people talk about defensive stats. The D-backs, when you look at them as a team, they're top five in almost every defensive stat, like I mentioned. And to go through a few, defensive runs saved, you guys probably have heard that. The D-backs have the second most defensive runs saved to just the Milwaukee Brewers. When we look at ultimate zone rating, D-backs are number three on that list. And when you just click the stat defense on FanGraphs, the D-backs are number two there. If you want to look at outs above average, you could do that for the D-backs as well. They're fourth in that. So defensive run saved, ultimate zone rating, outs above average, and the defense stat on FanGraphs. Go look at those categories and go filter it for yourself, so you can see the D-backs top five in every stat, and go read the glossary so you can get the breakdown of what those stats mean. I'm not going to read all those formulas to you guys. I just wanted to give you guys a quick rundown about how this defense is rated by FanGraphs and some of the players that are rated pretty nicely by FanGraphs. Josh Rojas, which is maybe a little surprising because we've seen him make some defensive mistakes, but FanGraphs rates him pretty nicely over at third base. Dominic Fletcher, like I said, he rates pretty nicely in both center field and left field. And of course, Christian Walker rates pretty highly as well. Then if you're just talking about the eye test, like we all know, Corbin Carroll is a stud defensive player. Even if the numbers don't jump out to you on FanGraphs, just watching him with his speed, with the way he takes angles to balls, you know he's a speedster, and you know he could track down pretty much anything in the outfield if it has a little bit of hang time. Maybe one of the reasons his defense isn't graded super high is because he doesn't have a super strong arm and he can't really throw out anyone, but with the amount of ground he can cover with that speed, he's still a huge defensive stalwart out there in the outfield. Alec Thomas, who's no longer on the team right now, but probably will be back in the future, he's a defensive monster as well. And then Gabriel Moreno, I didn't really see too highly on FanGraphs, but we know Gabriel Moreno has been a stud so far for the D-backs this season. And you could see that there's been a ton of games this year where he's thrown out runners or really made an incredible play behind the backstop to save a wild pitch or a pass ball. So Gabriel Moreno, I think, has been a really good defense play as well for the D-backs. And I think the D-backs defense has not really costed the D-backs a lot of games. There was a game, like a week and a half ago, where Evan Longoria and Josh Rojas were really struggling. But I think there's might be one to two, maybe three games the entire season where like the defense didn't come through for us in that game. But I think it's few and far between. I think there's probably more individual players that struggle that you have to watch out for, like a Pavin Smith in the outfield, as to why the defense might struggle. But as a whole, this D-backs defense is pretty good. At most positions, you got above average defensive player. And so I think this D-backs defense is an A- with how they played through the first 50 games of the season. Or excuse me, not A-. I actually have A written down. And then last but not least, let's talk about the manager, Torey Lovullo, because he has won manager of the year before and he might be trying to win another, because Torey Lovullo, I think, has been pretty good so far for the D-backs this year. He still makes some decisions where I don't agree with when it comes to the lineup, where he was batting Corbin Carroll so far down in the lineup to start the season. He's starting to figure out a little bit more that maybe Corbin Carroll should have bat a little bit higher. I like what he does with Perdomo. I like that he actually bats him at the bottom of the lineup, because I like when Perdomo bats ninth and just crushes the soul of opposing pitchers. I like what he's done at times with the bullpen. I like that he's trying, that he didn't waste any time to pull Scott McGuff from that closer role and give it to Chafin or Miguel Castro. Now there's times where I question why he's putting someone in or why he's pulling out his starter, because I think at times he still has a short leash when it comes to some of his starting pitchers. And sometimes I'm like, leave Zach Gallen out there for another half inning or another batter. Or I say the same with Merrill Kelly, or even say the same sometimes with the youngsters, where it's like, They only have 80 pitches through five and a third. And I know you're scared that third time through the rotation, that third time through the lineup. But it's like, let Ryan Nelson go out there for another two batters. Let's see what happened. Let's see if he could pitch six innings, actually get a quality start under his belt. But for the most part, I think Torey Lovello has had himself a fine season managing this D-backs team. And they've responded well. They seem to like Torey Lovello. They seem to all take kin to his leadership. And Torey Lovello does fight for his players. We've seen him get thrown out on occasion this season. So Torey Lovello, I think he's been a B+ with for a chance to improve a little bit more as the season progresses. And who knows, he might have another Manager of the Year award coming his way. And then last but not least, what's the overall grade we'll give the D-backs this season? We gave the offense an A-. We gave the rotation a B, the bullpen a C+, the defense an A, and the manager a B+. So what do I give the D-backs as a whole? A B+. Some of you might think, why not an A-? The D-backs are a whole bunch of games above 500. They're a game and a half back of the Dodgers. They've been winning a whole bunch of games this year. They've only lost series to two teams, the Padres and Marlins. It's like, why are the D-backs not an A-? Because I don't think the D-backs have played their A game yet. I think there's another level the D-backs can get to. Have they been good this year? Yes, but the rotation after Zach Gallen and Merrill Kelly, we need at least one more piece for a little consistency. We need to have a little bit more trust in the back end of the bullpen, get better at closing. So I think the flaws of this team still lies with the pitching. The offense has been great so far, but if it regresses, can the pitching uphold and keep this thing together? I want the D-backs to address those concerns. I think they will at the deadline, but so far, how have they played the first 50 games of the season? I think a B+ is more than fair. Yes, some of you guys would say A-, but I don't think the D-backs have played their A game yet. I think in the second half of the season, potentially they can play their A game and get even better. A guy like Christian Walken can still hit another level. A guy like Ketel Marte can still hit another level. When maybe one of those D-backs youngsters in the rotation start to blossom and get in a little groove and rhythm, and then it's like, okay, now all of a sudden, second-year player Ryan Nelson or rookie Brandon Pfaadt looks very good. And then maybe Mike Hazen goes out there and trades for a reliever they can really trust in that seventh or eighth inning. So I think there's more upside for this D-backs team going forward. I think this D-backs team has another level that they can get to. And for the first 50 games, I think a B+ is a perfect grade for this Arizona Diamondbacks season. Now that's it for this edition of the Locked On Diamondbacks podcast. Come back next week for more Diamondbacks news, coverage, and insight. Thank you for making Locked On Diamondbacks your first listen every day. We didn't get a chance to preview the series against the Boston Red Sox, but guys, just follow me on Twitter because I will be at the game watching Chris Sale versus Brandon Pfaadt, and maybe I'll give you my thoughts and live tweet it as it's going on. Thank you for making Locked On Diamondbacks your first listen every day. If you do listen every day, put hashtag everydayer in the YouTube comment section. And as always, stay safe, stay healthy. Deuces.